come in. Please be seated. Well, any of you who have known me for more than about a minute know how much I love words. I just relish in them. I'm intrigued by how much freight a single word can carry in the way of meaning from one person to another. One of the words I really love is hyperbole. Just sort of like the feel of it and the way it rolls off the tongue, hyperbole. It means the same as exaggeration, but I don't know, I just like hyperbole better. Hyperbole is also a technical term in rhetoric or in grammar, and it refers to a specific means of presenting something. And it doesn't mean necessarily that something that is said hyperbolically or where hyperbole is used is necessarily untrue. It doesn't mean that it is deceptive or misleading. Rather, it's like a yellow highlighter that you use when you study scripture and you see a particular word or phrase which has meaning for you. It doesn't bother me at all, by the way. I'm comfortable. You can be comfortable, too. I want to do that myself sometimes. I heard a comedian one time say, you know, what if all of us were as free to express ourselves as kids are? Can you imagine what the line at McDonald's would be like? We'd all be on the floor going, I want my French fries. I want them right now. I want a quarter pounder. Into Dad's arms. There's an image. There's a real image. Hyperbole, I was talking about hyperbole. So it's used technically in rhetoric and in argument to mean emphasis. And the Bible actually does a fair amount of hyperbole. There are places in Scripture where something is said in an exaggerated way. Jesus does this sometimes. And he's not doing it in order to be deceptive, but in order to emphasize a point, and you need to be aware of that when you read things. Emphasis is important, and that really is where I'm headed with all of this. I remember one time listening to someone talk about another person, and they spoke about the difficulty that this person was having. And I love language, and I think I was probably in college at the time, and I'm thinking, what the heck does that mean, difficulty? I'd never heard this word. And I was just really puzzled. And the opportunity didn't present itself to ask the question, what does that word difficulty mean? And it was years before I realized, it was in one of those moments, I think I was probably driving in the car and I went, oh, difficulty was the word, and the person using it was just being humorous by placing the emphasis in the wrong place. Or as people will say sometimes, the emphasis on the wrong syllable. That was what they were doing with difficulty, difficulty. And it just confused the heck out of me for the longest time. Well, the problem is that we do that sometimes with Scripture wrongly. There are places in Scripture where emphasis is expanded, underscored, highlighted, so that we really get a point that's being made. And there are other places where we put the emphasis in where it really isn't. And that's often done when a particular sentence or collection of words is taken out of context. And taking things out of context in Scripture is the origin of most denominational splits, of most cults, of things being so focused on and so emphasized that the whole counsel of Scripture is ignored, and that one thing which is being looked at becomes all important. And it's a tendency that probably all of us have one time or another that we need to be alert to. And I want to point out how that can happen in the gospel that we heard read today. I'm going to read it again. This is from John 14. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is the New Living Translation that I'm reading from. Jesus says, you can turn there in your Bibles if you'd like to. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you today, there should be one nearby, underneath the chair in front of you perhaps, or just scoot up next to somebody who's got one. John 14. Anybody who has a pew Bible, what page is it on? 827. All right. John 14, 1. Don't be troubled. You trust God. Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I am going and how to get there. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We haven't any idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And I'm not going to focus on this sentence today, but this is one sentence in Scripture worthy of reading about 1,000 times in a row. There's much, much here. Verse 7, if you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Philip, don't you even yet know who I am? Even after all the time I have been with you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of what you have seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, this is John 14, verses 1 through 14. And I want to go back and look just at verse 14 here for a few minutes, and then we'll work our way from that elsewhere. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. I also want to point out that in this translation, there's an exclamation mark at the end of the sentence. You see it there? If you're looking at the New Living Translation. And I will do it, exclamation mark. There aren't any exclamation marks in Greek. That was added by the translator. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you ever have the opportunity when somebody is in the hospital or a baby has just been born and you go over to see them and you realize that sort of all the practical things in life are going to be really difficult right then? How do the kids get fed? How do we make dinner? And so you say, Debbie, if you need anything, just give me a call, right? Anybody ever said that? Probably all of us have said something like, need anything, just give me a call. Anytime, day or night, if you need anything, give me a call. Now imagine if Debbie called you at 3 a.m. and said, George, thanks a lot for that offer. Here's my list. I want your house. I want your pension. And I have a couple of neighbors that I really don't like. I'd like them killed before tomorrow. And you said, and Debbie says, George, you said anything. Now, one of the things that happens with this verse, and we do this with a lot of Scripture, is we have this idea that because it is from the Word and it is from God and it is His revealed truth, I believe this, we have a tendency to take it to extremes. And we figure, well, God is the master of the universe. He created everything with a word. He has infinite power. Therefore, anything is possible for Him. If everything that exists was done by Him in a trice, then anything is possible. And he says, Jesus says right here, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Exclamation mark. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. The problem here is the emphasis. The emphasis on this word, anything. And the problem is twofold, or maybe it's just onefold and it comes in a couple of parts. Where in this sentence does it suggest that that is the word on which we are to focus all of our attention? Well, maybe it is, but where's that idea? In the Greek, this word, which is translated to anything in English, is a tiny word. T-I-S would be the English version of it. The English equivalent would be something like, ask it and I'll do it. Ask it and I'll do it. But when the word is translated anything, and it actually is a pretty broad term in the Greek, all of a sudden, we're circling this and underlining it and anything, anything. But does any one of us imagine for more than a moment that if we said, Jesus, what I want right now is $1 billion in my bank account. I just want to open it up tomorrow morning. There's $1 billion there. And you know, remember those kids that picked on me in high school? I want them off of the planet right now. Get rid of them. And also, I would like to be the governor of Latvia. Now, I use these as examples because they're silly, but my point is, do we imagine that when Jesus said this, that he meant that? That he meant it in that way? And this is where we come to the issue of the whole counsel of Scripture and taking something out of context. Let's just look at the context in which this verse exists. John 14, I'm going to go back to verse 10. Jesus is talking and he says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." So first of all, you have Jesus here giving a model of how it is that the ministry that he does happen, giving a model of how it is that the miracles that he does happen, of how it is that the work that he does on earth happen. In fact, if you were to pop back to John 5, earlier in the same book, verse 19 says this, "Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" You see the model that Jesus is putting up here about how it is that he does his work? He doesn't just arbitrarily make a decision and say, "Well, I've decided that this person will be healed, and this one will become a billionaire, and that one will become governor of Latvia, just because it's Tuesday." Now, I'm being silly here, but the point is that Jesus acts by watching his Father, by seeing what his Father does and joining what his Father is doing. He looks to see what it is that God intends, God the Father intends, and he acts in accord with that. And in fact, in this passage read today from John 14, "The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." And then verse 12, "The truth is anyone who believes in me, trusts in me, will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son," which is the work of the Father through him, right? He just said that two sentences ago. "Because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father." In other words, the Father works through Jesus and is glorified by the work that Jesus allows to be done through him. That's the model. That's the picture. Okay? Now, we then come to verse 14. "Ask anything in my name and I will do it!" Exclamation mark. The true emphasis of this sentence should be on these words, "in my name." And even those words don't really communicate what is meant here in the Greek. And I apologize, I don't know on whose behalf, for having to take us back to the Greek so often. But the English language often doesn't convey, or at least we've lost from our understanding of what the words are, the full import of some of these things. The Greek word here, which is translated as "in my name," onoma, means this. The name, when you say "in my name," is used for everything which the name covers. Everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name, rank, authority, interests, pleasure, command, excellencies, deed. In other words, when Jesus says, "Do it in my name," he's not giving a magic formula which says when you want something, use these words in Jesus' name. And like an incantation, those magic words will cause this thing that you've asked for to happen. That is absolutely not what is meant here. Christians do not do magic. They do not use incantations, even of the name of Jesus. They don't do that. What Jesus is saying is, ask anything in the fullness of who I am, and I will do it. In other words, be Jesus. He says that elsewhere. Be his hands and feet and legs and heart and mind. Be Jesus to each other. Be Jesus to the world. Act in his name, if you would. Act in this way, with power, with authority. But as Jesus says, he does only what he sees the Father doing. And the call on us is the same. We are to do what we see Jesus doing, if you would. In other words, anything is under in my name. It has to be consistent with the character of God, consistent with the character of Jesus, consistent with the character of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. That's how we know how to act. Many of you, trained in doing healing prayer or just praying for someone, know how there will come times when the Lord just shows you what to pray for. You know what I mean? He just shows you what to pray for. Sometimes it's what's been asked for. Sometimes it's something very different. And it's not that God objects when we petition, when we ask for things that we really need from our heart. I think he hears us. when we do that. But when Jesus says, ask for anything in my name and I will do it, what he's talking about is that we see what he desires to do and we become partner, co-worker. We allow him to work in us and through us as he said the Father did with him. We move and pray in a way which is consistent with the character of the Savior. And so this sentence, ask anything in my name and I will do it. The emphasis on this sentence is in my name, not any. There are whole cults formed on this sentence, ask anything. They believe they can ask anything because the sentence says not what this one's about. If you look at the whole counsel of Scripture, the whole counsel of God in Scripture, you see that the focus of this sentence is in my name, in my name. Look and see what the Father is doing. Look and see what God is doing. Pray that. Do that. Anything can happen. Anything in my... Amen.